up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Adrian Sherwood has been a supporter and champion of dub music since his teenage years, a pioneer who helped the Jamaican genre flourish in his home country of England in the 1980s. He says it'd be tough to recreate that magic today.
You have to work hard, but you could create a scene almost innocently that could build up and nurture and grow. Now everything's microscoped within a second.
His first new solo album in over a decade is called The Collapse of Everything.
Despite the title, it's not completely miserable. It's actually got lots of funny little bits. It's certainly got a lot of sense of humour, mischief, fun, and a dystopian landscape in a few places.
Coming up, we'll chat about how one of the most respected engineers in music sets up his own recording sessions, and how he became an in-demand remixer for bands like Nine Inch Nails, plus whether or not he's tone deaf. It's Adrian Sherwood coming up. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with the Up North Report. A Bemidji woman with a profound impact on community organizing for social justice issues died Saturday at the age of 54. Simone Senegals was a Red Lake band member with given names of Chinodinikwe and Miskomakwakwe. She was the operations director for the Indigenous Environmental Network, a global organization that organizes campaigns around environmental justice. She was also one of the founders of MMIW 218, raising awareness and building community for families of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives in the Bemidji area. Among her many tributes Monday, MMIW 218 says Senegals, quote, reminded us that violence on the land and violence on our bodies are connected, and she stood boldly to protect both. Senegals was featured on KAXE over the years to discuss this connection, including in this excerpt from 2017.
If you want to disempower a people, you attack the women. And I think Indigenous women have been dealing with that and are still dealing with that.
Awake for Senegals will begin Thursday evening at the new Red Lake Center with traditional services to follow Friday morning. About a dozen residents packed into Black Duck Small City Council chambers for the first of three public hearings Monday aimed at amending the city's cannabis ordinance. People there expressed concerns about the changes a cannabis business could bring to the small northern community of about 850 residents like Jeff Beachley of Black Duck.
Fathers of this town, I mean, they're spinning in their graves for even considering something like this. I just don't understand it. Why would you want to bring that into here in the first place?
In August, the council heard a proposal for a cannabis cultivating facility to reoccupy the closed Shade Store-owned Anderson Fabrics manufacturing plant. Those behind it say it could create about 150 jobs in the wake of 100 lost with the closure. But despite its location in an industrial zone, the proposed site is also near Black Duck Head Start and Early Childhood Center. The council opted to begin the ordinance amendment process earlier this month, proposing to eliminate required buffers for cannabis cultivators and manufacturers near schools and daycares while maintaining them for retail cannabis businesses. During the hearing, residents raised concerns about marijuana businesses being too close to children and doubted how many of the proposed new jobs could be filled locally. Black Duck entrepreneur Erica Naughton says she previously worked as a recruiter for the Shade Store manufacturing plant.
So has anyone looked at really seeing if there's actually 150 people looking for a job in this area? We have a business in town. We struggle getting people from Bemidji to Black.
City Administrator Christina Regas says the city has included Head Start leadership in conversations about the changing cannabis ordinance.
Their members and their board of directors have no problem with that business going into that location as long as it is not retail.
All local governments in Minnesota were required to adopt a cannabis ordinance following the legalization of adult-use cannabis in 2023. Black Duck's ordinance delegates the licensing and enforcement responsibilities to Beltrami County. Essentia Health is highlighting a new third-party report that shows the system's economic impact throughout northern Minnesota. Megan Buffington has more.
The study from economic development firm Northspan measures the jobs and economic output from the organization in the Brainerd Lakes area and on the Iron Range. Essentia is the biggest employer in the Brainerd area with nearly 1,000 staff, with another 1,000 in direct jobs created by the organization's work. Essentia directly employs 850 in the Greater Range region and indirectly creates another 850 jobs in construction, medical equipment, and supply chain and logistics. It's one of the largest employers in the region outside of the mines. The study calculated Essentia's economic impact by looking at the organization's revenue, employee salaries, Essentia's spending, and the goods and services purchased by Essentia employees. That amounted to $734 million in the Brainerd area and $583 million on the range and beyond. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories at KAXE.org, where you can also find content from our Music Morning Show and Phenology teams. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hi, I'm Kaleo. When Adrian Sherwood started On You Sound at the start of the 1980s, he was cultivating a scene of reggae and dub enthusiasts, passionate for the dancehall music of Jamaica and relentless with its experimentation when it came to making it. It's something you'd be hard-pressed to recreate today. Building that scene was one of the many fascinating areas Sherwood touched on during our conversation. The dub music pioneer joins me to talk about his latest album, The Collapse of Everything, a title that might feel oppressive, but the album is anything but. We'll also get into how he ended up becoming a ubiquitous credit on remixes from Nine Inch Nails to Spoon, plus why there needs to be someone in the control room to say no. Why? Well, the answer's in a minute. But first, here's a track from The Collapse of Everything. Here's Body Roll from Adrian Sherwood. Adrian Sherwood with Body Roll on World Cafe. The producer and Anyu Sound co-founder has been at the forefront of dub and production for more than 40 years. And there's a good chance he's probably worked with one of your favorite musicians. His new album is The Collapse of Everything. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Adrian, a pleasure to meet. Thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Good to join you. And good day, Kaleo. Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. Congrats on the record. We should start with that. It's your first solo album in 13 years since 2012, Survival and Resistance. The Collapse of Everything. That's a great title. Tells you a lot. Features songs like The Well is Poisoned, Battle Without Honor and Humanity, and The Great Rewilding, not to mention the title track itself. It feels very prescient. What headspace were you in when you started work on this record?
Well, when I started it, I was just thought, okay, I've got it, but it's about time I did it. So when I started it out to when I finished, we lost the great Keith LeBlanc, the drummer from Sugar Hill, who I worked with throughout my adult life, and also my close friend, Mark Stewart. Mm-hmm. It died suddenly, and it hurts you losing friends. And Mark was one of the biggest inspirations on me for production and anti-production, and pushing for something more extreme, nothing just skinny and accept anything. Mark, I miss him greatly, and he'd written a lyric with an American friend called Scott Crow. And Mark did some recordings for Scott, and one song he did called Stealth Empire had the lyric in it, The Collapse of Everything. And when it came to choosing the name, I thought giving it the title and the nod to Mark's involvement and the love I have for him is like it just fitted in perfectly with the times we're living in.
If you're just joining us, Adrian Sherwood is our guest. His new album is called The Collapse of Everything.
Despite the title, it's not completely miserable. It's actually got lots of funny little bits. It's actually got a lot of sense of humour, mischief, fun, and a dystopian landscape in a few places for the world we're in. Yeah.
You need to have a little bit of fun during the dystopia. Otherwise,
100%,
what else is there? We'll stop at the spaghetti best Western in a little bit. You said something interesting in a Tape Op magazine that I've had a little bit of understanding because you've talked about how you're tone deaf, but you called yourself a part songwriter. What is being a part songwriter? Oh, you almost regret that this has been asked of you.
I'm not tone deaf completely. I mean, if I was humming something, it will tend to be in the key of A. But I'm not a musician. Now, bear in mind, I've been working with some world-class musicians.
For decades.
And they make me look good by working with them. But similarly, I have to bring something to the table. So when it's a writing, I might be saying, here's a bass line, or I've got this idea for a melody part, and I'll be getting the musicians I work with to interpret it and to enlarge on the idea. So I'll be getting, in some cases, 100% where I've written it, where I've heard everything I want to do, and in other cases, 50% or whatever.
Yeah.
And writing with people that I'm very sympathetic with.
Yeah. Can you set up the song The Well is Poisoned? Because you have a couple of guests on this record. What were you thinking about when you were working on this one?
Well, the story of The Well is Poisoned, that isn't actually my track that I originated. It's the only one that isn't. But Brian Eno had done some recordings, and Brian has his own writing process where he writes, where he's got half lyrics and half mumbo jumbo or something. But it's beautiful. It sounds amazing. But he's trying to find the finished lyric. And the lyric he had on it about The Well is Poisoned was obviously the planet and everything. And yeah. I overdubbed our musicians. I had piano, guitar. We did the bass. We did sax and some other sound effects and pumped up the drums. And basically I took Brian's voice and just had bits of it through vast EQ sweeps and a well of reverb and made a dub version. And when I came to doing this album, I approached Brian and said, can I use the track? Because it was basically a joint production. And he very graciously gave me the track to put in, because the title alone and everything, it fits in perfectly with, you know, the terrible things that are happening to our planet right now ecologically. It fits in perfectly.
Let's take a listen to it. It's The Well Is Poisoned, Dub, from Adrian Sherwood here on World Cafe. Album The Collapse of Everything. It's Adrian Sherwood with The Well Is Poisoned, Dub. In addition to his new solo record, he's been one of the most innovative and influential producers in modern music for decades. Adrian's my guest. This is World Cafe. I do want to talk a little bit about your production work, and because some people look at the producer as being an engineer, other artists look to the producer to be a motivator, maybe a parental figure if they have a hard time getting their work done. How would you describe your approach when you're working with bands?
Well, largely I've done stuff for myself, you know, with the label.
Yeah.
So I'll instigate a project. I might have an idea in my mind, and then I will, like with African Head Charge or Dub Syndicate, they started, for example, two of those as studio projects, and then they evolved into bands years later. But the things on the label, on the On You Sound label, I always thought, you know, as producer, my job was to start it, see it through from beginning to end, and then decide when it's finished. And I had the last shout because it was on my label, and I was paying for it, so I did what I wanted.
Customer is always right.
Well, yeah, exactly. But when I'm producing for like Sonic Boom and Panda Bear, I don't know if you know the album I did with them recently.
Oh, yeah, you did the remix record with them too, yeah.
Reset in Dub, which I'm very proud of, or various other albums, it's my job is to please myself, but I've got to please them and perhaps one or two, a manager, an A&R man, whatever. So you have to keep communicating and go to the finish line. As a producer, your job is perhaps being trusted with a budget. So production is, it deals with money, in my case, because I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
It deals with having a good phone book so I can call up somebody brilliant to make something sound better.
Yeah.
And then it's a trust and communication thing. Every time I've worked with the musicians and they've come to the studio with me, I've got better results than when I'm just, oh, go and do a remix. And it's like, sometimes in the old days, the record companies wouldn't even speak to the act. They would just broker a remix. And so my best things have been done when I've been working with the act together. And that applies to On You Sound or jobs I've done.
You said something really fascinating, which I don't think enough artists appreciate, which is you've got to have someone in the room who you can trust to say no. And I always think about like the best parts of what, you know, musicians who've worked with a lot of people look for in a collaborator. Beyond finding someone who can say no to you and say, no, that's not good, what else do you want from someone you're going to be working with or collaborating with? Like, what's the dream for you?
Well, if you're working with an artist that isn't like that very much, one that's really sure, really positive, that's great. Because some artists really know what they want and what they don't want. You know, I worked with Mark Smith, did some productions with The Fall.
The Fall, yeah.
Mark knew he didn't want reverb, didn't want delays. Same as Blixer from Einstein Zander Neubart and all that. They didn't want reverb, didn't want delays. I'm thinking, well, all I can bring here is EQ and balance and a few suggestions for arrangement. But those artists are great because they're really, really confident and know what they where they want to go. And what they're using you for, if they've employed you, you know, you're there for them to do whatever they think they can get out of you. They're almost using you as an additional production tool.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a balanced thing. You know, sometimes great artists have got the biggest ego, and the next time it's very fragile. And like you said earlier, you might have to be gently coaxing somebody along to get the best out of them. And that's where people like Brian Eno were so wonderful with, you know, U2 or all the other countless things he worked with. I think very good producers will create an ambience in the room where everyone feels very creative and that they're going to do some good works.
You're listening to World Cafe. Adrian Sherwood is my guest. Dub Maestro's new album is called The Collapse of Everything. It's available now. In addition to his work as a solo artist and producer, he's remixed hundreds of artists over the years. And some, just to name a few, you know, Nine Inch Nails, Garbage, Depeche Mode, Lee Scratch Perry, Spoon, Panda Bear. How did you end up in that world? Because your name, I don't want to say ubiquitous, but like so many records I had growing up had Adrian Sherwood remixes on it.
What used to happen? I come from the reggae background. I love it. I love lots of music. So I've done folk, jazz, blues, everything, but funk, African music. But what I started with was Jamaican music, which operates where they make a rhythm, and it's unique to this day to Jamaican music pretty much. If the rhythm's popular, they might have 100 different versions of one rhythm. And then people want another version, another singer on the same rhythm, a saxophone on the same rhythm, another DJ, another version. And this is amazing. No, nothing else does it. But one of the versions they did was a dub version, which was where rather than overdubbing, they would take things away and add reverbs and delays and create the dubs. So I was versed in dubbing from word doc, because that's where we started. We'd strip it down, take out the piano, the guitar, the lead guitar, the horns, the voice, just have it running in drum and bass with a bit of reverb on the thing, then boom, jang, 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 and then add bits in it. So when Daniel Miller said to me, look, you know, we're doing remix, we'd like you to do the first remix for Depeche Mode, which was 83 or something, or I can't remember, or I got asked by Jeff Travis to help and do things. I literally went in the studio and just mashed to pieces and cut up bits of tape and started doing remixing. But what happened with me, nobody saw me as the commercial guy. It was always, look, in those days when you put out a record, you could put out 5 different versions of the record. They would put the same record out with blue vinyl, with a silly sleeve with this.
Yeah.
Then they'd put out a couple of remixes of it. And each one went to making up the chart position.
Oh,
so that was why they
did. It was a chart game.
Yeah, it was a chart game to start with, the beginning of it. So you see like 7 stupid versions, and it wasn't even a different version. They'd be rubbish. So they would always get me into, oh, let's get Adrian Sherwood in to do the weird version, you know, which is a bit of an insult. So I just took their money and did all these versions, to be brutally honest with you.
It's fascinating to me because my introduction to your work as a remixer was when I was a teenager trying to consume every Nine Inch Nails song and version possible. And for a band that only had three records, you know, they had like dozens of remixes. You know, for a second, I thought you were in Nine Inch Nails. I thought you were one of the, you know, four people hanging out with Trent.
I only ever did two things with Trent. I should have done more, but at the time, well, I was approached to get involved in the production. I actually did the first record. I said, no, I can't do it. Trent used to come to all our gigs and stand next to me in Texas and places with Tackhead. He used to follow us around. And he said, oh, look, can you come and help the label in Canada, Network? Kept saying, will you get involved? And I was so tied up with all my other stuff that I couldn't. So he approached Keith to do a remix on Down On It. And Keith said, oh, hey, come to the studio with me. So I went to the studio for 3 hours and mixed the tune. And then everyone associates me with Nine Inch Nails. I'll cross my heart, I'll hope to die, but the news already in my eye, and all the world's weight is on my back. I don't even know why. What I used to think was me is just a fading memory. I looked him right in the eye and said goodbye. I was up above it.
This is World Cafe. We're here with Adrian Sherwood. The new album is available now. It's called The Collapse of Everything. And I want to play this track because two things. I love the vibe. I love the energy and the space on this record. And it's hard not to smile when you say the words spaghetti best Western. Can you tell me a little bit about capturing a little bit of the Italian West, so to speak?
Well, it's obviously tongue-in-cheek funny. But we made this soundtrack that was really kind of collapsing. The whole track of it's like on the edge of like collapse. And then got Peter Harris playing his guitar and whistling. And Peter's very talented. He designs a lot of the artwork for this album. And there's a wonderful video out, just came out 4 days ago. If I recommend you watching it, called Dub Inspector from the album. Yeah. Have a look at the video he made on that one. That's absolutely fantastic. But Peter's doing guitar and singing on it. And we made that track for fun. And I said, oh, I like that. It's our Western tune. It's like a spaghetti. And then my engineer, he said, oh, spaghetti best Western. And we just burst out laughing. And that was how that got the name. So
beautiful vibes on this one, Spaghetti Best Western. It's Adrian Sherwood on World Cafe. Sherwood on World Cafe. The song is Spaghetti Best Western. It's from his new album, The Collapse of Everything. It's out now. For over four decades, Sherwood has been at the forefront of the legendary dub label Unused Sound. He's here with us today. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. There is a quote in your bio that says, I'd rather try and create a niche amongst like-minded people and create our own little marketplace, be that 5 or 50 or 500,000 sales, and also be true to our principles of making things and true to your own spirit that you put into the work. Was that the attitude when you started On You Sound Records back in 1981?
Yeah, I started it with a few friends. It started out as a collective, but before long I was holding loads of debt and just had to go off on my own. But the idea was initially we were building a collective of like-minded people. But I think the whole dub arena, you know, even with instrumental stuff, does tend to gather. It's a political arena where if you look at the crowd, most of them are quite conscious. They would be against, you know, against hypocrisy, probably very, you know, animal. A lot of them are with animal rights and for, you know, truths and rights. And that arena and being amongst good souls is what I've always tried to do, and to make sure that the recordings on the label, if we're doing vocals, they're conscious, political, in that they engage people and are informative and uplifting. And also in all the instrumental work, that it's got a spirituality about it. I just tried very hard to maintain that.
Yeah, I wasn't there for it, but what was the energy like in England when you were, you know, building this collective in 1981? I know, you know, the punk movement had started a few years earlier, and that was a thing that brought inroads to kids and introduced them to being politically active or at least conscious. Like, what were you seeing in England in the scene around that time?
Well, what happened, I think the influence, I mean, I was from the reggae world, but I'd suddenly met the Slits, the pop group, lots of other people who were all amongst each other and friends, the Raincoats, Scritti Politti. I was at Rough Trade Record Shop. There'd be, you know, the Fall, New Order. You'd bump into everybody and talk, and it was very exciting. And a lot of people, Daniel Miller, you know, who started Mute Records, Daniel was living at his mum's and selling his first record out of his car. The point was, people were, the reggae in the 70s, or 60s and 70s, had all been really fun. I'd liked all the Rude records, the one with the funny intros. Hey, hello, census taker, who are you, and all this. And then really great party records. Then when you got the Garveyist Rasta thing come in, it really alienated lots and lots of the fans. The white skinheads, you know, not Nazi ones, you know, good people who loved the music.
But they were there for a good time.
Yeah, and then the root stuff, they just couldn't relate to jar this, jar that. So when the gap was filled by Madness, the Specials, Two Tone, but a new dub thing emerged as well, where people were, like me, just making all the records I made were dub albums with Hit Run. All the records, my Hit Run label, everything was a dub album. I was in the right place at the right time, and it was just meant to be who you were inspired to work with, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel like we're missing some of that in 2025 in terms of organic community and like-minded people finding each other? Is that harder?
Yeah, well, in the old days, you had to make an effort. I'll meet you at, you know, the record shop at 5 o'clock on Thursday, or let's rendezvous or leave a message somewhere to meet somebody. You know, pre the internet, it was obviously you had to create. You know, you had to work hard, but you could create a scene almost innocently that could build up and nurture and grow. Now everything's microscoped within a second. So to create a really vibey natural scene, it's obviously much, much harder. There's obviously all the benefits you've got now with what you can do online, but also, you know, with the mobiles, everyone's just watching everything all the time, from a gig to even when people are dancing, they're filming each other like idiots. You know,
I've never understood that, man.
I look back now and I'm thinking to myself, I'm very glad I went through what I did. But, there were great things happening now. There's good little jazz movements. There's still the sound system arena. You don't see, you know, but, I think it's much harder now to gently, innocently nurture something mystical and magical without being spotlighted, analysed and figured out before it's even had a chance to nurture itself.
This is World Cafe. Adrian Sherwood has been my guest. The new solo album is available now. It's called The Collapse of Everything. Adrian, it's dealer's choice. We're going to let you pick one from the album that you want to showcase as we close out this episode of The Cafe. What would you like to play from The Collapse of Everything and why?
Well, we just made a video and it's been out a couple of days, well, 4 days ago now. It'll be later when this goes out on there, but it's Dub Inspector, I think. That's quite a joyous track.
Adrian Sherwood has been my guest. This has been World Cafe. Here is Dub Inspector. Album The Collapse of Everything, that is Dub Inspector from Adrian Sherwood. The Collapse of Everything is available now. Thanks again to Adrian Sherwood for joining us. I'm Kaleo. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Adrian Sherwood, what a boss. A new album is available now, The Collapse of Everything. If you're a Dub fan, you know who he is, and he stood on business for this record. If you missed any of our conversation, you can find it at worldcafe.org. Hat tip to our producer, Miguel Perez, for his work on the session. And let's get back into music with some live Bob Marley and the Wailers. Lively up yourself here on World Cafe. If you look at the lyric sheet for that song from the Rolling Stones, Can't You Hear Me Knocking, you'll see the line, yeah, I've got flatted feet now, now. And that's what they wrote down for the lyrics. But Mick Jagger swears that's not what he sung, but he couldn't remember what he wrote, so they just went with that. Stones from Sticky Fingers, Can't You Hear Me Knocking, also heard Bob Marley and the Wailers. We've had a lot of great sessions in the last couple of weeks here on World Cafe, including sessions from the Beths and Pulp. You can find them at worldcafe.org. We're back in a minute on World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I am Kaleo. And Leve said she was never going to be the person who wrote the I Fell in Love song. And then she fell in love and became the lover girl. So here's new music from her latest album, A Matter of Time. It's Lover Girl from Leve.
The skyscraper's causing vertigo. The countdown begins. With that. To be a lover girl. Forced to get creative, wrote my feelings down. The independent lady in me's nowhere to be found. I can't wait another day to see you. How embarrassing to be. Struck girl, I tease her. Thought I'd never be her. Quite the job you've done on me, sir. You've been hosting parties. In my mind, I'm working overtime to have you in my world. Oh, what a curse it is to be in love. I wait by the phone like a high school movie. Dream at the show. You'll come running to me. Think I see you in the wings, but I'm hallucinating. What a reckless fever. Love-struck girl, I tease her. Thought I'd never be her. Quite the job you've done on me, sir. You've been hosting parties. In my mind, I'm working over time, you've become my whole world. Oh, what a curse it is to be a lover girl.
Cried all night till there was nothing more. What you said, my. Oh. that's die hard when you got a sentimental heart. Piece of the puzzle, and you're my missing part. Oh, what can you do with a sentimental heart? Oh, what can you do with a sentimental heart? Cried all night till there was nothing more. What you sent my eyes a heap on the floor. Even devotion, but it's just no good. Taking it hard, just like you knew I would. Oh, habits die hard when you got.
Next year will be the 20th anniversary of the debut album from Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward, otherwise known as She and Him. Sentimental Heart from Volume 1 puts the wraps on this edition of The Cafe. Want to thank our affiliates nationwide who make this show possible, a show we produce from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And by the Pew Charitable Trusts, sharing about the state of housing in America on the After the Fact podcast, available at pewtrusts.org/afterthefact.
Another hour ahead of the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Check out our playlist, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
I am the one.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Gorillaz' new album features appearances from Johnny Marr, Black Thought, Dennis Hopper, Mark E. Smith, and on the first